Welcome to AADL Reads. We talked with author Bridget Young about her debut novel for both children and adults, Worth a Thousand Words. Bridget, an Ann Arbor native, moved to New York City when she was 19 and lives there currently with her husband and daughter. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
So you just got your first book published, right?
I did, yes.
Worth a Thousand Words.
I read it this summer.
It was incredible.
Thank you.
And, you know, you did it. Tell us a little bit about your book for our listeners that haven't read it.
Okay, so my book is about a girl named Tilly who was in a car accident when she was 8, and it affected her greatly. She now has severe chronic pain. She walks with an exaggerated limp. Mm-hmm. And her father was the one driving in the car, and she has become pretty traumatized, and she's... Right. goes inside herself entirely and becomes obsessed with photography. And she begins documenting the school's hallways and becomes known as the lost and found because she can search through her camera to find lost things, everything you've lost from your earrings to your homework to your love notes. And she stayed a loner the whole time. And at one point, a class clown who made fun of her limp at one point mm-hmm. comes up to her and he says, "I need your help. My dad is lost and I need to find him." And she tries to remain a loner, but this boy is very difficult to say no to.
That Jake.
Yes, that Jake. Totally based on my husband.
Really?
Oh, he's like my adorable. Idea of my husband at age 12.
I love everything about that. So what was it in particular about this story that made you want to tell it?
I think there were a couple factors. One was dealing with trauma. And dealing with trauma living in the body and how it affects her, the different layers of trauma in her family related mm-hmm. to the accident. And also, along those lines, dealing with her pain and her body and telling a story about a girl who was solving a mystery and having an adventure who didn't have the same physicality as everybody else.
Right.
Also, that she was an extreme introvert makes her a little more unusual. She's no Nancy Drew with the plucky...
Right.
Attitude, you know? And that's right. That's what really drove me to write the story.
Right. And the thing I loved about your book in part, well, there were many things I loved about this book.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But in particular, it was the mystery aspect of it. I could not figure it out until the book spelled it out.
Yes.
And success. I'm a grown person. And this is a, you know, youth book. It was, I think the ages was... 8 to 12?
Yes, supposedly.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more 9, but...
Right.
8 to 12, yes.
But yeah, I, like, spent the whole time, like, going back and forth to what I think was the actual thing.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
I know. And was that difficult to write it that way? Since as you were writing it, you knew the answer. Mm-hmm. So was it hard mm-hmm. to not give it away?
It was hard, and it was... I would say it was the biggest challenge in writing the book, was perfecting the mystery. First of all, to make it actually tense. I think at first the story was much more about Tilly's internal world, and my mm-hmm. editor said to me, "You have to amp up this mystery. This is we got to get readers hooked if we want them to, you know, experience the emotional reality of the characters." Right. And so I had to work really hard to negotiate which details to put where, to be very careful about not spelling it out too much for the readers. And young readers are really smart. I mean,
I'm sure a lot of
some of them
might
have guessed
it out before me.
Yeah, let's hope not. I've heard some theories that people have about where his dad is, and some of them are maybe better than what I did. Who knows? There's some good theories out there from 11-year-olds.
Well, it was, and I don't think this is giving too much away, but they go to the dad's office, mm-hmm. and there's the, like, super creepy cubicle man in the background that does the, like, finger across the throat,
yeah.
like, cubicle motion. Man. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, my gosh. And it just sent me in, like, a Law & Order SVU tailspin.
Oh, this is great. And I'm so happy about that. Cubicle Man, maybe my favorite character.
I don't even remember if you gave him a name.
No spoilers.
Cubicle
about
man.
The name. But I don't know, the Cubicle Man thing, it's, I guess the fun part about writing a mystery for kids is that kids don't understand our world in the same way, right? So they see things innocently and then can concoct their own version of what that means, whereas for an adult, an exchange has an entirely different significance. So.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that was definitely the fun with his workplace.
Yeah. So, and then another thing that I really loved about the book was how you handled the topic of her leg. And her handicap, because I feel like there's so many books that involve characters with a handicap or a disability of some sort, mm-hmm. and that is what the character is about. And I didn't mm-hmm. get that with Tilly. It was like, oh, Tilly is this girl dealing with this thing, but still doing her thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that is exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And did you have to make a lot of edits, I guess, like to make sure that that's how it came across? Or was it like just pretty?
Well, yes. First of all, her pain is based on my own experience because I have fibromyalgia and pretty severe chronic pain. And at the time I was writing it, I actually was sometimes limping and I couldn't mm-hmm. walk very well. And I was getting a lot of treatment on my leg. So the experience of getting around in the world with pain was pretty easy to write in that sense. It was therapeutic.
Right. Yeah.
Although the hard part was cutting it down and not putting in my own kind of emotional rants within that. But to keep it focused on her, I definitely had to go back and be very careful. So I didn't want it to ever feel like she was defined by this.
Exactly. That's the way of putting it that I meant to, but I just kept saying thing.
Right. No, I get it. I got it. I was with you.
Yeah. Well, and there were so many parts where the boy, Jake, mm-hmm. Is like, oh, well, let's just go do this. And she has to be like, no, listen, I can't. Yeah.
She's like, dude, I got a lot going on under the surface here, dude.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think that one thing I did do, though, is I had some people read it who do have severe limps, severe abnormal gaits, and there were a couple points that they spotted it and said, you know, this is making it a little bit too much all about her leg, and I got rid of those ASAP.
Perfect. No, and that's great. Like, like I said, it came across, like, perfect.
Thank you.
It wasn't something that defined her, but it was something that is a part of her.
That's so good to hear. Thank you.
If that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
So this is kind of more of a lighthearted, but this book contains so many relatable and likable characters. Which one was your favorite?
Jake.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I kind of figured since
you said
the husband
thing gave it away. I do like my husband. He's definitely my favorite because he's so kind, even though he makes mistakes, which is, you know, those are the people we love.
I, for some reason, really loved the mom. Not for some reason. I mean, the mom was just such a good, like, she's just trying to keep
trying,
her family
man.
Together so hard. And, you know you're getting old when you relate to, like, the parents in
absolutely.
A film or movie or book or anything.
That's my new life, is relating to parents, even grandparents, you know, generations back.
No,
must be so hard for them to watch their son go through that.
I know. Like, I was like, oh, come on, mom, keep it together.
You know, the mom was actually a tricky character to write, I would say, because she could easily be over the top.
Right.
And it walks that line. But we all do know people who worry to an extreme degree. And, you know, it was about
my mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mine too. It's about capturing that and then not, you know, overdoing it.
Right.
So I'm glad to hear you liked her.
What was the hardest choice you had to make with this book?
Hmm. You mean within the plot and the writing process?
Yes. Or,
okay. You know what? It was very hard to finesse Jake's naivete.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I first wrote it, I was told that he read like a 9-year-old and he needed to be 12. Mm-hmm. But it was very hard to cut. I really had to chop up that character a lot and kill a lot of my darlings, as they say. I just had to really give him edge and make him a little, you know, I added in a much later draft that he makes fun of Tilly's leg.
Mm-hmm.
It did not start that way. So so giving him these edges was difficult because I'd become attached to this little boy that I'd written.
Yeah.
And I had to make him a little less perfect.
You had to make him a little jerk at sometimes.
A little human. Yeah, he's a little jerk because he's 12. If he weren't a jerk, that would be really
I was a jerk when
upsetting.
I was 12.
I was too.
We all were.
Yeah. Memories I want to erase.
How long did it take you to write this book?
The first draft took 6 months, I would say. And then it took years to get it published. And in that time, I was editing it constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see. People have asked me this, and somehow I still don't have the number. But it was 5 years from writing it to getting it published.
Okay.
And I don't think of it even as finished. I don't think it was finished when it was sent to the editors even, you know, because of how much editing we did after that, the book deal came through.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it was finished until the last minute.
Right.
Which, so Yeah, it took a long time. Yeah. And I kept writing other stuff during it, which is crucial to a writer's sanity, I think.
And can you tell me a little bit about your writing process?
Yeah. I used to just write and see what happened. Mm-hmm. And that did not serve me well. Now I create a plot ahead of time. And I write it out in a lot of detail. Yes. And it saved me from a lot of angst. And so my process now is I start with a character. I always have a character in my head. I write everything I know about this character. I write everything down. And then I try and find the heart of their problem and the heart of what's really what they're searching for in the world. And then from there, I create all the problems that they're going to face, all the obstacles. Right. And it takes me a really long time. I go through a lot of doubt and a lot of drafts. And then once I start writing, I try and give myself goals like a chapter a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a chapter a day if I'm feeling absolutely out of my mind. Yes. And I almost never succeed at that.
Right.
And then I edit, and I edit a lot.
Yeah.
So I think you need to get that bad first draft out.
Right.
And then that's when the work begins, as they say.
Right.
But it's true.
When you first found out about your book being published, that's like every writer's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Like, what was your reaction? Tell me about that moment.
It was... it was the biggest sigh I've ever had, if that makes sense. Like, all that tension that goes into achieving something, you know, everything, you're waiting for it all the time, and you're waiting for it, and you're imagining what it'll be like, and then when it finally happens, it's just a huge sigh. It's almost a relief.
Right.
And you're, of course, still on to the next thing, but just basking in that moment was peaceful and tranquil. Yeah. And it felt like, for me, getting the agent was, in a way, the more exciting.
Yeah.
Than the book deal, because the agent felt so unachievable, so hard. And once I got the agent, I felt like, okay, she can talk to these publishers. She can do things for me. So that felt like icing on the cake in a way, because when I knew I had someone to advocate for me, that's when I, you know, that's when I celebrated and got out the champagne. And when I got the book deal, it felt surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And totally out of my hands, like as if she had taken it on, my agent, and she was going to make my dream come true, and I was just watching it happen. And it was amazing.
Fairy godmother.
She is my fairy godmother. This woman, Melissa Edwards, Stone Song Agency, she's the best. It was beautiful.
All right. So one of my last questions for you is there anything you're working on now?
Yes. I'm working on my next book, which is called The Prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
It is also for middle grade kids, and it is about a list that comes out at a middle school in Michigan of the prettiest girls in the school.
Oh,
1 to 50. Yes, it's about sexual harassment. Okay, we're doing this in middle school. We got to talk about it.
No, absolutely.
And it's from the perspective of three different girls who are in different places on the list, and the girl who is number one does not want to be on the list at all. She wants to read books and stay away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And number two wants to be number one. More than anything.
Yeah.
And then the other girl is not on the list and has to deal with her feelings about that. So it deals with them becoming justice seekers.
Right.
To take
my
down the man.
My heart is already breaking for all of them.
it's a hard read at times emotionally. it was very fun to write.
I'll tell you right now, I am going to read it and I am going to cry.
Good.
Because I'm a crier.
Good and good. I'm so glad.
All right. So, since we're talking about books,
yes,
I want to do some speed round questions with you.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, what is the first book that made you cry?
Oh, my God. Rule of Thunder, Hear My Cry.
Ooh, good one. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
It would be, it's okay to be really bad. Write bad stuff. Don't worry about writing something great.
Good. What's your favorite underappreciated novel?
We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson.
All right. What is your favorite childhood book?
The Giver.
Ooh,
followed by Matilda. Tough call. Had to pick two.
What's your guilty pleasure read?
Mysteries that you can read in a second on an airplane.
What is an example of the movie being better than the book?
Is there one? I don't know.
We'll talk.
Okay, you tell me. I really like The Rats of Nim.
Oh, I didn't see the movie of that one.
That's good.
The scariest book you've ever read.
Oh, I know what this one is, and why is it escaping me? I mean, I guess I'll just say The Shining.
Fair.
Because I read that too young.
If you were trapped in a blizzard and had to burn a book for warmth, what book would you choose?
Burn a book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear
God. For warmth, to live.
To live, to survive. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would choose Jonathan Franzen books.
Because they're huge.
Sorry, Jonathan. They're huge. They're a little much.
That's fair. Favorite book you've read this year? Yours doesn't count.
Mine doesn't count. Okay. I'm reading a book everyone has read right now, Sula by Toni Morrison, which is amazing. But yep. I'm also going to say I read a book called The Land of Yesterday by K.A. Reynolds, which is a middle grade book, and it's incredible.
Great. And lastly, what are you reading now, which you just answered?
I just said Sula. It's very good. And I just read the book, speaking of mysteries on the plane, I just read the book The Couple Next Door. Have you read it?
Oh, I haven't read that.
Very creepy. Very good. Mm.
Well, thank you so much, Bridget.
You.
It was a delight talking to
fun.
You.
Thank you.
We asked some readers to call in and tell us about their favorite books. Listen on for some of their responses.
My favorite childhood book was The Happy Hollisters. It had great mystery adventures by Andrew Svensson.
My favorite childhood book and my favorite go-to classic is the Harry Potter series, all of them.
What's my favorite childhood book? Oh my gosh, I don't even know the name of it, but it was the one that said, "See you later, alligator, in a while, crocodile." Do you know the name of that book?
My childhood favorite, it's called Poison by Chris Wooding. It's essentially a very, I guess that is kind of a scary book too, but it's a oddly dark coming-of-age story in a fantasy world with a twist ending.
For more AADL podcasts, visit aadl.org/podcasts. Thanks for listening.